went to Berserta and got an LST, only 316, and we sailed to Naples and arrived on the 23rd of March, 1944.
So, what did you know about this trip? You know,
we never go to Italy.
When you say we, this is
with the unit.
Which was, just to remind us?
The 20th, CRE Works.
Right, okay, yeah. So you knew you were being sent to Italy?
Yes, because when the war in North Africa was finished, we used to get a sort of, it was a newspaper which contained all the news about what was happening. And of course, we did have wireless, as it was called in those days, and we knew all about Italy and what was happening in Europe generally. So we were with it as regards the progress of the war.
Yes, yeah. So did you know why you were being, sort of what your job would be when you got there? Had you any idea what you'd be up to?
Well, as far as I was concerned, and the unit, it would be a similar job, same sort of work as we had done in Tunis. And that is to employ all the specialist sergeants, companies, well, they were called W01s and W02s, Lord Officers 1s and 2s, in varying jobs like electricians, mechanics, heating engineers, and target works and people like that. And wherever I went with the unit, that was the sort of nucleus of the intelligence, if you like, that went along with us to do specific work.
So, what was the journey across the Mediterranean? You were more or less going north across the Mediterranean.
Yeah, well, the journey across the Mediterranean was particularly difficult because an LST, like an LCT, is a flat bottom boat and it doesn't ride through the waves, it rides up and down with the waves, and it was particularly unpleasant, particularly, repeating myself, as a lot of the food was American and a lot of it was American juices, and you'd sometimes have horrible sights. People who couldn't stand the sea throwing up, to put it crudely, and the sky would be illuminated with all sorts of pretty colours of juices. But other than that, and the rough sea, it was quite pleasant because the American food generally was very good. Usually, ration type, very acceptable. And this is the first time I think we came across Spam, which was a great American meat food, which I think spread through the whole country. Spam became quite a thing. To go back to Spam, I mean, we did have it in Tunis, and as we had Italian prisoners cooking for us, our mess, and they were very good. We had all sorts of dishes made with the spam, which is very acceptable. They were very good cooks and very nice people. Very nice people.
So there were a lot of prisoners about them, were there?
Well, I said in our earlier interview that there were thousands and thousands of Germans between stuck to our own cooks.
So these Italian cooks, when you had them cooking for you, I mean, were they cooking sort of a traditional Italian type food?
They would turn English produce or anything that we could get a hold of in a particular country, into very good dishes, particularly in our messes, I must say.
And they went down well
I can only give you information on sergeants' messes.
Yes.
I'm sure the officers' messes were the same, because you had in both messes you had people who were usually the warrant officer in charge of the mess accounts, and he would be in charge of buying any extra food that we could get hold of over and above our ration allocation. So we were never. That's why my war in particular was probably a lot of civilians at home could have liked to have been where I was rather than being bombed at home, where the rations were severe. Anyway, we landed at Naples, and Vesuvius duly greeted us by erupting, I remember. It was a famous eruption.
Where were you when that happened?
Well, we landed at Naples, and we were stationed near Naples. We were fairly high up on the hill, and you could look across straight at Vesuvius, and it was frightening. It really was. However, we then moved to Sorrento. I can remember Vesuvius was still doing its business, and although I had a jeep in Africa, I had a motorbike, so I rode a motorbike in convoy, with the convoy, to Sorrento. When we got to Sorrento Square, we all motored through the ash as Vesuvius was sending it down, and because I got off my motorbike, and they all laughed at me, because when I took my goggles off, the only skin they could see was my eyes and the surrounding area. However,
everything was covered in ash. Everything must have been covered in ash.
Oh yes, everything was.
How frightening was this eruption?
It was frightening to see, particularly on night time, because it really threw it up, and you would see the lava being thrown up and coming down the mountainside. And of course, when you travel to Sorrento, you're very close to it, or we were along the road, which is still the main road. I've been there since. But the day that we traveled, of course, it was simply sort of, how can I describe it? There weren't the flames, it was just the throwing up ash. It was cooling down, presumably. It just went through a sort of thick fog. So, yes, we were covered with ash. Well, we were in Sorrento primarily waiting for the Poles to take a port called Ancona on the east coast of Italy, a very major port. Whilst in Sorrento, apparently when you motored in, got off your bike, you hardly got your foot on the ground when a sort of Italian-American voice would greet you and say, "Hi there," sort of, because the Italians, of course, a lot of them went to America, and as soon as they'd earned enough money to retire, they returned to Italy. So invariably, in most of the villages, well, some villages that I visited, you'd find someone who could speak good English. And of course, they liked us. They wanted to see the Germans out and us in, and normality, you know, regained, as they say. But that was a quick sort of survey of the area. And then we went back to Sorrento. Then we went to Naples, because we were on the move now. And we went back to Sorrento for a day. And then we went to Naples again and stayed in a camp for about 10 days. Then to a little village called Roccarinola. Stayed there a month. Roccarinola is north of Naples. We were just stayed in houses and simply waited for the Poles to do their work. But whilst I was there, I can remember going to Caserta, was headquarters of the whole Italian campaign. It was General Mark Clark, the American's general, was there. And Caserta was an interesting castle, and it was designed on the lines of the Versailles Gardens in Paris, outside Paris. There's a hum, of course. The whole of the Italian campaign was being planned there. All arms were going there to report to the different sections or people that were then involved in the intelligence. Caserta, fascinating place. Anyway, the Poles were almost, well, I should say that whilst I was at Roccarinola, I did go to Benevento. Was in gun range of Cassino, if you've heard the guns of Cassino. And that was a, well, you all know the history of the Cassino, Monte Cassino. However,
can I just ask you, I mean, what state was these towns or villages in? I mean, had they seen fighting?
Well, all those places near Cassino, Benevento, showed some signs of. You're absolutely right that there was damage in Naples. I mean, for instance, the Germans blew up the general post office before they left. But you saw the odd gap in a vast city like Naples, but it wasn't like a village where you'd have a few dwellings and one would be in utter ruins, and perhaps a couple out of five, but you know what I mean, the damage would be more evident in all these villages.
Well,
as
you
knew.
Can you remember any particular
eventually, they took Ancona, and we moved in on the 19th of July, 1944. And our job there was repairing quays, roads, hospitals, and generally making good, as they say, a lot of the existing buildings for our use. Our headquarters was in the civic centre. Interesting job.
Did you have much contact with local people?
Well, in that situation, we employed a lot of civilians in the offices. I mean, I had a lady draftsman, a girl draftsman, maybe. Because you can't remember, we were all young, didn't they? Secretarial side, they had quite a few Italian girls. And here we had the old dance. In our, we were billeted, we took over a house, the Villa Aventini, in the main Via. Trees either side, and very nice houses all the way up to a monument at the end to Victoria Emmanuel, King of Italy, that was. And then you had the sea, and it was very grand, and we had very good accommodation and first class offices. Interesting work. We were able even to go to the opera there, which was, I had over my lifetime had an inkling that I would like classical music and all that sort of thing. And yes, I enjoyed the opera.
Do you remember what you saw?
Well, Aida, I can remember, but I saw that more than once eventually in other parts of Italy. But, yeah.
Where was that played? In the theatre?
Yes, in the theatre. Theatre, because Ancona, although it was a bustling port, wasn't a very big town in itself. Not when we were there. In fact, I had to draw. When we were in when I was in Sorrento, I had to draw, or trace actually, a complete plan of the whole area of Ancona, and it was minute. I've got a copy of it now. some of them had escaped up into the hills and that sort of thing, some of the families, because the Germans had occupied it. And the fighting, of course, they, like anyone, you'd get out of the way. And after a time, when we'd settled things down, a lot of the residents hadn't left. But some had, and they eventually all came back. And as I said, we employed cleaners in our billets, cooks. Yeah, that's where we did our Italian cooks in Ancona, in our mess anyway. And I'm sure in the officers' mess. You get the aircraft noise? Mm. Ancona, yes, as the Germans retreated, these things, places, became re-inhabited fully, and everybody set to get them working again, to get them back to normality, which took us quite a few months, because quite a bit of damage had been done. Vital, sort of like the odd road had been blown and that sort of thing, bridge, small bridges. But
so, how long did you stay at Ancona?
Well, I stayed in Ancona July until 1944, till the 1st to the 10th, 1945.
Oh, right, you were there
for a good while, right? Yes. I can remember when we were there, back home, and suddenly woken up to the fact that it would be a bad thing to send an English football team, or circuit, I suppose, of behind the lines, which would boost the morale of soldiers, serving soldiers. And presumably they went to places I'd left, like Africa. Then they came on to Ancona and played for us, and there were some quite famous players who played quite a lot of football internationally just after the war. So that was interesting. There were tennis courts in Ancona, it was quite a civilized.
Can we just go back to football for a second? Where did they play in Ancona?
Oh, well, I can only remember one pretty big recreational, which we would call a park, I suppose, in those days, where they had everything happening, tennis, swimming bath, and a couple of football fields with a stadium, but not a vast stadium, a stadium.
So these were all British footballers that were
playing. Oh, yeah.
Who did they play against?
Well, they might play a divisional side or something like that. I mean, you must remember that, you know, they might have played the odd local side. I can't remember that, but they could have. Because they'd move up